Welcome, everybody, and thanks for being with me this next hour. You are listening to Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks on Transcendental Tuesdays here on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way we think about and listen to our world. This is January 21st, 2025. And just by way of a few announcements, I always like to shout out to Mark's Power Peak, which is the weekly newsletter that comes out. And I hope that you are subscribers. I mean, if you're listening to this show, you probably are. But if not, that's a wonderful way to just stay connected to people that may or may not think exactly like you, but to be connected to some positives in our lives. That's how I see it. And in the age that we're in, a lot of times we're doing that electronically, digitally. So I hope you'll check that out. It has a number of articles written by some of my colleagues. And of course, I write the article that is called The Week Ahead, in which I detail all the astrology that's coming up for the week ahead, or at least the astrology that kind of jumps out at me. I probably shouldn't say all the astrology because, you know, it's so funny. I listen to Mark Hessen's show and I listen to other people, other astrologers especially, and it's always fascinating to me what people pick out as being the important energies, you know, either for that day or during that time period. And I love the fact that we all, in many ways, see different things, or different energies seem to be the important thing that we're focusing on. And that is really a statement about astrologers in general. They're ruled by Aquarius, which is what we're going to talk about today. And Aquarius is that sign that, you know, we're just contrary. We're ornery a lot of the times. And I say we because I've got an Aquarian moon, and I also have my north node in Aquarius. And wherever your north node is, that's a mathematical point in your natal chart. But wherever that occurs in your chart, I see it as your destiny. It's what you're trying to learn in this particular lifetime. It's a point that you're trying to get at, or it's attitudes or characteristics that you're trying to develop. So that's why a lot of times, you know, you just, in fact, I was thinking about this. We're going to talk about moon phases today. Now, I know that seems kind of odd. It's my way of looking at Aquarius. But when I look at somebody's chart or I'm remembering a person, oftentimes I'm going to remember their moon phase faster or quicker or for longer than I'm going to remember things like their sun sign. So unless they have something really particular in their chart, it's oftentimes the moon phase that I'm going to remember about them, because that has just become for me a really important marker or indicator of a person's personality and how they deal with the world. So we are going to talk about some moon phases today, but back to, I kind of got off track here, back to Mark's Power Peak. Please check that out. And it's a free, you know, online newsletter that you can subscribe to. And also, before we get started today, you know that we have a private group over on Facebook. If you would like to join me over there, please do. Of course, it's called 1-2 Radio. And if you've never been there before, you just kind of knock on the door there again electronically. And Serena, who is our producer, will let you into the chat room. And I see that Leslie is already there. There might be other people too. I haven't refreshed my screen yet. And of course, I do try to look at that throughout the show. But you know me, I get all caught up in what I'm talking about. So trying to multitask and read comments is difficult. But I try to take at least a moment every once in a while and look over there. So if you have a question or you want to contribute, please go ahead and do that. And of course, if you have a question that I don't get to during the show, you know, like you're saying, hey, what were you talking about with the moon phases or something else? You know, I may put the answer after the show. So if you've got something that you ask about and I didn't answer, you might go back and check that a little bit later, because I do try to go over there and answer some questions when I can. Okay. All right. Those are the announcements, at least for the ones that I can think of right at this moment. So let's just kind of dive in and look at what I call the cosmic dance for the week of January 20th. Now, one of the most important things I think going on this week, one of the most impactful energies, actually happened early this morning. It was at 4:29 a.m. this morning, which is Tuesday the 21st. And what happened is that the Sun and Pluto got together. they met at 1 degree of Aquarius. Now, of course, when I say things are conjunct, that's an astrological term, or if I say they get together or they're in the same space, obviously, if you look out in the sky, we're not talking astronomy. Sun and Pluto did not get together astronomically. But astrologically, from our view on planet Earth, what did it look like? It looked like they were sharing the same astrological space, 1 degree of Aquarius. And because astrology is mostly, or a lot of it is psychological, that's how we look at it. So what does that mean psychologically, emotionally? What kind of energy does that generate for that illusion to look like the two of those planets are together? So we're going to talk about that, and we're going to come from several different directions. But to me, this is pretty impactful. But to set the stage, recognize that the sun moves through every single sign in a year. So wherever Pluto is sitting, because of course it sits, you know, at like only a few degrees a year, you know, eventually the sun's always going to catch up with it at least once a year. So this isn't an event that's rare, but it's very impactful. And I think the word that comes to me is respect. I think it's an energy that needs to be respected. And in this case, I think that it, you know, if you think about the planets that are involved, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that, you know, that Pluto is a transformer. So it concentrates this energy, whether it's emotional or psychological, it's synonymous with intensity. And it's the stuff that psychological transformation is made of. And I may mention this again later, but, you know, we talk a lot about good times to break habits or good times to change our behavior, change our thinking, change our thoughts. But this truly, this is one of those times that really should stand out as an opportunity to change something, because Pluto stands for change, catharsis, deep-rooted change in our lives. And it met up with the sun, which is the way we see ourselves, the way we see ourselves, not necessarily the way somebody else does, but how do we see ourselves, our personality, our egos? And Pluto and the sun were sitting together, having a meeting, or however you want to view it. So that's pretty impactful. And I think it's the kind of energy that it didn't have to happen like right at 4:39. You know, if you weren't awake or you were off having your coffee or you were, you know, on your way to work or doing whatever you were doing, it's not like you say, oh, darn, I missed that moment. Astrology doesn't work exactly that way. I mean, oftentimes we can track an event or we can track a new thought back to a particular time. But it's actually a little more fluid. So in fact, all this week, I think we're going to see things kind of developing. And oftentimes I can also tell you that it's when I look backwards that I go, oh, you know what? That was the day the sun and Pluto got together. So it may not even be something that I recognize in the moment. But then when I really think about when did I first start thinking about that, or when did that actually happen, or when did I have that meeting with that person? And as it becomes more and more important in my life, I realize, whoa, that's when it happened. So I'd like to just point those things out. So you just kind of take note of it, you know, and just once again, pay attention. Just pay attention to your feelings and to your thoughts and what's going on for you. But I also want to back up a little bit so that we can really talk about the sun in Aquarius, because we didn't do that last week. And that kind of sets the stage for where we're going today anyway, or for how we see this particular month, because we just started this new solar cycle. You know, the sun will be there for 30 days. It moved in on Sunday. So let's, you know, review a little bit of the Aquarius energy. Now, those 12 signs, you know that all the signs are considered, we categorize them according to an element like air, earth, water, fire. Aquarius is a mental air sign. It's also what we call a fixed sign. We also categorize all of these signs according to a style. We call it a mode. So this is an air sign. It's also a fixed sign. So as an air sign, Aquarius shares some things with Gemini and Libra, like it's associated with the mind and communication. It's mental and cognitive functioning, intellectual. It's objective, you know, versus subjective. And it's concerned with ideas and progress and stimulation. Now, as a fixed sign, there again, it shares some qualities with Taurus, Leo, and Scorpio, which are the other fixed signs. But these signs and Aquarius concentrates energy. It stabilizes and focuses energy. And in this case, what kind of energy? Mental energy. So in fact, I always like to point out that sometimes when people know a little bit of astrology and they know about those fixed signs, they want to talk about which one's more persistent or stubborn or, you know, stuck, that kind of thinking. And often it is Taurus that gets blamed. But Aquarius is the one that's mental, that fixates on energy. So it is true that if there's anybody stubborn in the zodiac, it's somebody with some Aquarius energy. Because, and in a sense, that's its job. You know, that's Aquarius's job as a fixed sign, is to concentrate and focus and stabilize that energy and not let go of it. Anchoring that energy in, following through on what those thoughts are, being persistent and loyal, which of course leads to ingrained habits. But see, you know, these 12 signs, when you look at them and all their unique characteristics, in a sense, I say they have a job. And that's what Aquarius is good for. They're going to come up with those ideas. They're going to push forward. And we think of them as being very progressive. And they are. However, it is their job to, you know, to be that poster child, so to speak, you know, to really be pushing those ideas. And it takes a lot to get them off of a particular idea. I mean, it truly does. And here again, I only have my moon and my north node there, but I'm very loyal to Aquarius. I love Aquarius myself. And when sometimes, you know, I discuss, Mark Hessen and I will go back and forth a lot about Aquarius. And, you know, I listened to his show yesterday and, of course, was just laughing as he's talking about Aquarius, you know, in maybe not such a positive light. But see, I love it. And see, that's what we often do in astrology, too. When we recognize ourselves, we go, yes, that's me, or I love that kind of energy. You know, why are you saying that like it's a negative thing? So when you resonate with the qualities of a particular sign, you probably have planets in those signs in your chart. And that's it. You embrace them. You love them. You go, yeah, that's my job. That's my purpose. That's what I'm doing here. So those air signs are also associated with being logical and outgoing and left-brained. You know, now you have a lot of other energy in your chart. And speaking of other energy, I want to emphasize the fact that just because you were born without planets in a particular sign, like you might be sitting there right now saying, well, I don't have any planets in Aquarius. And it could be that you don't resonate very much with this particular sign. However, it's in your chart somewhere. At the moment that you were born, Aquarius was in a particular place in the sky, and therefore it's represented somewhere on that wheel that is your natal chart, that is your blueprint for living in this particular lifetime. And it's important to understand at least something about Aquarius, even if you don't have any planets there, because Pluto, which to me is, I always call it kind of the wallpaper or the background planet, because it stays in a particular place for very long. Remember, it's going to be in Aquarius until 2044, till January of that year. So we're talking a long time. So, you know, as these other planets just move around, you know, pretty quickly from year to year, month to month, day to day, that Pluto, he's just sticking right there in Aquarius. So wherever you have Aquarius in your chart, you probably already recognize that's a place where you've got these qualities. But now Pluto's going to sit there for almost 20 years, and it's going to continue to activate that energy. It's going to hold it there for you. So there are going to be times when you're going to come back and you're going to revisit it. So, you know, after today, maybe you're not ever going to think about it again. But this just gives you a basis for at least thinking about some of those Aquarian personality traits that you might identify within your chart, or from time to time you might recognize. So the archetypes that we often associate with Aquarius. The first one I'm going to mention is the water bearer. And I'm mentioning that because this one is the one that is always so confusing to people. They go, well, Aquarius has to be a water sign. It's called the water bearer. Well, that's a very old, almost ancient kind of word and concept for Aquarius, because in ancient cultures, like specifically in Egypt, they did associate Aquarius with the Nile River. And they saw it as the gods pouring out life-giving waters upon the earth. There was a lot of cultural things around that image, and that was Aquarius. Now, I don't even know how it started or why it is, but you know, also astrology is very rooted in some of those old cultural beliefs and traditions, as well as mythology. So it is the water bearer. It pours out the life-giving waters on the earth, but it's not a water sign. It's air. It's visionary. It's a genius. Those are some of the archetypes. It's the rebel, the revolutionary, the humanitarian, the scientist, the mathematician. All those things are associated with Aquarius. Now, in Tarot, Aquarius is associated with the star. And we're not going to talk about that today, but two of the concepts I think that are important there is the star is the way shower. You know, the star, in a sense, can be considered the light that comes from inside. And that's very much the Aquarian. They're walking a path and they're shedding light. Some people see the light, some people don't. But another concept I think that we can associate with the star, and here we go. Again, we're not going deep into the tarot today. But another concept is remembering that we're all the same. We're all stardust, so to speak. I mean, where did we come from? Where did this planet come from? And to some extent, we are all just a little piece of stardust. And we're all the same, whether we recognize it or not. And that's our origin. That's where we came from. So as we look more at Aquarius, we're going to go quickly into what the mythology is. You know, this visionary, this original character who wants to create social change, why? What's the mythology that we associate? Well, it's the god Prometheus. And if you don't know the story, I'm just going to give you a few of the details. And once again, I find going back to the mythology really helps me understand and remember characteristics of a sign. So here's Prometheus. He was one of the gods. He's on Earth teaching the arts and sciences and medicine and prophecy and mathematics and all of these scientific things. That's his job. He's a mentor. He's a teacher and doing this on Earth. Well, you know, he's kind of looking at the humankind, which I think the gods always saw as us as being incredibly slow. And so he said, you know what? They really need to understand the concept of fire. Because if they don't understand the concept of fire, they're just not going to move forward. They're not going to progress. But Zeus and the other gods said to Prometheus, no, we don't want them understanding this. We want to keep them pretty much right where they are. So no, you are not going to share fire with humankind. Well, what happens? And this is the Aquarian myth. Think about it. So here's Prometheus. He's one of the gods. This is his tribe. This is his group. But now he doesn't agree with them. And so he's got a big decision to make. Do I stay with the tribe? Do I go ahead and go with them? Or do I go with my own intuition, my own gut? So what does he do? Of course, he breaks the rules and he gives fire to mankind. So that's where we start to see this path of individuality, breaking away from the group, and that idea of separation and loneliness. Because now he's walking a road, so to speak, that is against his group. And of course, he is severely punished for doing so. And that's part of it, too. You know, do you see mankind coming to his aid when he gets punished? Not so much. Now, eventually, I think it's Hercules or somebody else does come to his aid. But the point is, he broke away from his group because of his strong beliefs and thoughts about what was the right thing to do. He had to be true to himself. So by doing that, he chose separation. He chose loneliness. And he was on a road by himself. And like I said, for the most part, you know, he took the brunt of the punishment that was doled out by the gods. So when we think about that, we realize there's a couple of words that always come with Aquarius. Profound hope is one of them, because he saw a vision. He knew what was possible for mankind, and he wouldn't let it go. But he came to that place where, who am I going to be true to? To myself and what I think my vision is, what I think my purpose is, or is it the approval of my tribe, the approval of my group? When is it okay to break the rules? That's what we see in Aquarius. So now, with those moon phases, the reason, I know this seems like an aside, but those of you who know me, you're probably pretty familiar with this. Years ago, a couple decades ago, I read a book by Raven Caldera called Moon Phase Astrology, and it forever changed how I see astrology. And I highly recommend that book to anybody who says, hey, I want to know a little bit more about astrology. I want to understand it. Because even if you never get into the moon phases themselves, what it does is it's such an incredible overview of every single sign and some of the personalities, some of the characteristics, some of the qualities that come up. Now, moon phases, technically, what that refers to is as the moon goes through its cycle every single month, it starts by being with the sun. They're together. That's the new moon. And then slowly, every single moment, that moon moves farther and farther away from the position of the sun. So it gets to the point where it's a quarter moon, it's a full moon, it's another quarter moon as it goes towards the next new moon. So the distance between the sun and the moon dictates what we call moon phases. And in astrology, most people recognize, I mean, sometimes people only recognize four. You know, the new moon, the full moon, and the quarter moons. But technically, there's eight, and you could subdivide it even more. But in terms of the aspects and some of the important indicators, eight moon phases are very, very instructive. So what Raven Caldera does in this book is he basically gives them all personalities. So he takes those 12 signs, and he gives every single one of those eight moon phases within a sign a personality. And he tells us about them. So there's 96 different positions, if you think about it that way. And like I said, I think it's so important. I love looking at moon phases in terms of really understanding people's personalities. But today, I'm giving them to you, not to get into all the math of it, but to give you kind of a look at how Aquarius can manifest or demonstrate its qualities in different ways. So don't get stuck on the idea that I'm actually talking moon phases. I'm talking about, in a sense, eight different sub-personalities within the Aquarius mind. And here again, think of it in terms of this sun cycle for the next 30 days, but even more so, think about it as Pluto. How is change, evolution, and important progress coming into our worlds, into our life stories over the next 20 years? There are going to be many times when you recognize these particular personalities. Some of them you may really like, others you may not. But on the other hand, if you know all eight, or if you've kind of been introduced to them, then you might go, okay, I know what comes next. I know what comes after this. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to go through these. So, you know, Raven Caldera would call Aquarius the dance with society, or the dance with belonging. Moving through cycles of belonging and rebelling, just like the mythology of Prometheus. So we start with the new moon, which he calls, Raven Caldera, if I say he, that's who I'm talking about. He calls it the father's son. So here we have the personality of the golden child, the father's heir and the father's hope. You know, this is the child that is showered with attention and privilege. You know, so there is a part of us as an Aquarian, we feel somewhat elitist. You know, we feel special. We like being the favorite. You know, here's dad, or, you know, if you want to think of it as authority, you know, we are the favorite. We're the special one and we like it. But how do we stay in the father's good graces? by doing what the Father wants. Now, there again, when I say Father, or when I'm talking about kind of authoritarian or paternal energy here, you can also think of your group, you know, the community, your government, your institutions, your organizations, your schools, whatever they are, the groups that you belong to, your families. So what do we do to stay in good graces? We do what they want us to do and expect. If they have rules, if they have expectations, we go along with them. Failure to do that is not an option. We want to stay in the good graces. So we have to accept the rules of the Father, aka the group. And if we don't, what happens? Just like a child, if there's a deviation, we get reprimanded. And we might even have a time when approval is either temporarily or for longer periods of time withdrawn. You know, we get punished to one extent or another for not following the rules. But here again, if we think about this, privilege can be a problem. Because what we see in this too is that idea in Aquarius of intellectual entitlement. I'm smarter than everybody else. The rules that apply to those other people, they don't apply to me. Now, how often do we see that? And there again, if you think, oh, I'm not an Aquarian, Aquarius doesn't affect me, is there any person on this planet who at one time or another has not thought the rules don't apply to me? They apply to all those other people. And I just laugh because I actually hear that quite a bit. Maybe I'm more tuned into it, but I just hear it so often where people are giving defenses and excuses for why they needed to go fast or they needed to go through the stop sign. That light was too long or whatever it is. You know, somebody did something out of the ordinary and I had to do something about it. So part of that personality style is being an elitist. And so one of the things that Aquarius can certainly learn or that would help with is learning compassion and understanding that a lot of times our lessons are humbling, especially if we take on that kind of elitist behavior or thought system. So now moving on to what we consider the crescent moon or the next phase of the Aquarian personality. The moon is slowly moving ahead of the sun, but it's still in a very friendly place. It's in a really good connection. We call this a sextile in astrology. So it's in a really good connection. Raven Caldera calls this the Father's daughter. Now, in this case, she's still a favorite. You know, her daddy loves her. She's special. But once again, she's a little bit different. Now, this is where I don't want you to get hung up on gender. I mean, think of it more as just an idea that we're trying to identify with or not identify with. So here we have the daughter who knows she's different than the father, but she so wants to buy into the father's world, you know? So she identifies with those rules. And part of that might be having to accept or understand the rules about women. Now, here again, I don't want you to get all hung up on the gender part of it. I want you to think in terms of what it means is that this child is slightly different from the father. This child doesn't actually live in the same world as the father, but she goes, that's the world I want. I don't want, you know, I don't want to be stuck at home or, you know, some of the here again, it's best to kind of go with those traditional things. I don't want to be the person at home cooking and doing the dishes and blah, blah, blah. I want to move up and out. I want to identify with a different world. So what we see is that this child says, ah, but to learn these rules or to pay attention to these rules, I may actually have to deny or subliminate or do a little bit of something that, you know, doesn't honor completely who I am. So like, for instance, we might think of this as intuition, you know, something, you know, don't go feminine so much, but go with that intuitive side of ourselves or that receptive side. You know, this is more like, no, I need to act like them. I need to be this external, objective, forward-thinking, progressive kind of person. So this is where we start seeing that the son didn't have that awareness of being different from the father, but the daughter does. So that's the time maybe Prometheus, just for once, he starts looking, saying, you know what, I don't think exactly like all these people, but still wants to have allegiance to the group. Then, but there's this beginning, you might consider this kind of the personality where we're listening to alternative voices, knowing that there's something else out there. This is not just a unilateral, you know, one size fits all kind of world. The next phase that we get into is the waxing quarter. And this is where the sun and the moon square each other. Now, squares mean change. It means you have to choose one or the other. So this is the first place where there's a standoff, a choice to be made. So this is where, and here again, whether it's the son or the daughter or whatever the personality is, this is where the rebel starts coming in. This is where we see the rebel in the Aquarius personality. And here again, I think of this almost more rebellious as a small child, because it's not the mature, how am I really going to push through this change? It's more, I'm going to kick and scream and I'm going to rebel just because I want to rebel. You know, and so this personality is maybe prematurely starting to rebel against everything. You said it's white, I'm going to say it's black. I'm going to just, you know, I just want to introduce that idea that this doesn't look right to me. I'm suspicious of this authority and I'm going to rebel against everything. I'm not going to discern one thing over the other or between, you know, I'm not going to look at all those differences. I'm just going to start rebelling. So what we see here is anger issues, and they need to be resolved so that we can grow up. Because in a sense, we don't want to get stuck in the sense of being a rebel. I just want to be a revolutionary. I just want to rebel against everything. Like I said, you say black, I'm going to say white. Now, this is the time that it's important to start thinking about friendship and accepting who we are, but also being willing to be with people who don't think exactly like us, who, you know, kind of may challenge us, but we don't put them out of our lives because they do. So this is truly the beginning of alliances with friends, not so much with those authority figures or the world, the very circumspect world we've come from, but just aligning with other people, you know, and just finding something that feels emotionally right. But on the other hand, this is the person, oftentimes they go from one cause to the next cause to the next cause. You know, they're just moving through all the different things because in a sense, they're testing the waters. Another, you know, archetype or another way to see this personality is the outsider. And here again, they may love being the outsider. Right? I mean, that may be something that they really like. They enjoy that kind of personality. I'm the one who you can count on to not be agreeing with everything. And I'm looking just really quickly into the chat room. I see a number of people there. Good morning and thank you for coming. Leslie and Renee and Pamela, Quelly. Let's see. And I don't see any questions. Anne is there. Thank you for being there. And Judith and Kay, a lot of the regulars. And did I say James? Good morning, James. Thanks for being here. And you're all saying hello to everybody. So thank you for that. Yep. And people are saying thank you, Serena, for producing. So thanks for that, too. All right. So getting back, the next technical moon phase is the one before the full moon. This is called the gibbous. Now, this is where the moon and the sun are in a very particular connection. We call it an inconjunct. Now, I think in many ways, this is a very, very tricky kind of, you know, aspect or partnership between the sun and the moon. But it's where we're trying to figure some things out and we're trying some alternatives. Now, Raven Caldera calls this the trickster. But I particularly like this gibbous one because this is where we're trying to figure out, how do I really influence people? How do I influence the situation? Rebellion wasn't working quite so well. You know, I was, you know, getting some attention, but I may not have been getting exactly what I wanted. So this is where a person starts learning how to use humor or satire or that kind of thing. And think about all the plays and you know, even Saturday Night Live or lots of things in our society. I mean, this is culturally, you know, the clown, the joker, the court jester, the comedian. That's where oftentimes they are people giving very important messages, right? But they're doing it with humor because they learned that just being the ugly, angry person wasn't working. You know, the scorched earth policies, you know, is what we call them. So, but here's another differentiation that I want to talk about. Leo is the opposite sign of Aquarius. So they certainly have some personality, you know, there's some equivalencies, let's put it that way, or some things that are interesting, like flip sides of a coin, you know. Well, the Leo also has a personality style that we call the clown, who is a performer. But here's an important difference between the Leo and the Aquarius. And I'm not going to draw the same thing with other signs, but you could do it with the other signs too. Why do they do it? Well, the Leo clown, Leo is all about self-expression. So Leo does it for the attention. Leo does it as kind of a building block to their personality. Why does Aquarius do it? For the message. Remember that Aquarius is the teacher, the mentor. They're trying to improve the world. They're trying to get mankind to understand mathematics and science and all these other things. They do it for the message. They're driven by the message. So that's where we see the Joker and the court jester, et cetera, and the comedian. But oftentimes, and I'm not saying that they don't like the attention, but I'm saying what drives the purity of the particular sign with Aquarius, they're being driven by a message. And maybe they're the ones that are pointing out that the emperor's not wearing any clothes, that kind of thing. So see, that's very much, that trickster is very much part of the Aquarian personality. Now, the next one we get to is the full moon, you know, the middle of the cycle. This is where the sun and the moon are actually opposed. They're on different sides of the coin for sure. But this one is called the friendship moon. And it's the one place where relationships are not built on power dynamics. So think about it. So far, mostly we've seen parent-child. Maybe we've got teacher-student, boss-employee, guru, and their followers. You know, with all these different kinds of relationships we have, well, here is where the Aquarian personality really gets into that idea of, I want the world to be equal. I want it to be egalitarian. I understand there are differences, but I don't want the differences to matter. So this is where we see the person who is very, very, very into equal but different. Different but equal. They elevate friendship higher than romantic love and family. Now, notice that too. And I've seen this with Aquarian clients. I've seen it multiple times where, to me, the classic is the person, they stand up their date, they stand up their wife or their husband or whatever. And when they say, why didn't you meet me? Why didn't you call me? Why didn't you do what you said you were going to do? And what do they say? I was with a friend. My friend needed me. I had to go take care of a friend. And once again, I smile when I hear that kind of thing. Because the Aquarian mental place, whether it's a person with an Aquarius sun or they just Aquarius in their chart, they're like, how could you not understand that friendship is everything? And these are people too that, you know, what do they want in their lives? Friends. And a lot of times their intimate relationships are friends. That's how it starts out. Because once again, they elevate the status of, we are shoulder to shoulder. We're comrades. We're friends. So if you ever hear anybody say that, yeah, I'm sorry, I have to break our date because my friend needs me, that's an Aquarian personality somewhere operating in the background of that person. So at this phase, we want to treat all people equally. But you know what? In this world, that's not usually possible. So it's a struggle, you know, trying to figure out how to keep all the people happy. And we thrive on networks and social contact. Social capital is our wealth in this particular phase. So once again, as I'm talking about this, you may recognize certain things about your own personality or other people as well. And it's not that we're just in one of these. Like I said, I want you to understand this is the entire, this is a range, this is a gamut of Aquarian thinking, Aquarian personality. So there is this part, and like I said, I hear it. I mean, I actually hear this, where somebody is just, They don't understand why their wife is mad at them. They don't understand why their husband got all bent out of shape because they did something for a friend. Because they're like, it was my friend. You know, that's the ultimate. You can't ever leave a friend high and dry. So creating those social networks is incredibly important to an Aquarian, at least on one level. Okay, now what happens next? After the full moon comes the disseminating phase. And this is where, you know, if you think about the disseminating phase in any particular, you know, project or whatever, it's when you put all the pieces together and now you're going to give it out to the people. You're going to sell your product. You're going to distribute the book. You're going to do whatever you're going to do. This phase, more than anything, it's called the apostle, but it's marked by the idea of hope. Which there again, I want you to really kind of ingrain that idea as an Aquarian thought, an Aquarian ideal, hope. I need to have hope for the world. I have to have hope for myself, hope for the future. So they foster a combination of ideals and plans and being part of a group. It's like the whole ball of wax, so to speak. They've got all of those high ideals, that thinking about, you know, the visionary, but they are also part of a group that how can we make this happen? Now, one thing, and I put this statement in this particular place because this is the other thing that I think is so typical with Aquarius. If you really read between the lines, they kind of are saying, and I don't remember now, maybe it was one of the Marx brothers who said this, but they said, I love mankind, it's people I can't stand. And so it's this idea that, you know, I know people are all equal and we're all wonderful, but when it really comes down to nuts and bolts, yeah, there's a few people, I don't think they are as equal, right? It's really hard to take those visions, those ideals, and put them into your everyday life. But nevertheless, that's where this phase is. You know, I want you to believe like me. I want to talk to you. I want to mentor you, or I want to be part of you. I'm fueled by the energy of the group. And yet I struggle with the idea of independence versus belonging. I mean, I'm starting to really feel that. You know, I understand that. It's hard to be, you know, once again, I still have that thought of being the special child, entitled. I want to be independent, but I also want to belong. But in this phase, in a sense, we're less angry than you might consider like the rebel or the trickster. We're not quite as driven, but we're still pretty driven about having a message and the importance of the message and having our lives stand for something. But hope is a big part of it. I need to continually have hope, and I need to be surrounded by a group of people, or at least I need to have a best friend. I need to have somebody who's going to regularly kind of buoy me up, give me a regular infusion or transfusion of hope. I need somebody else to be telling me, we're not doing this for nothing. This struggle is worth it. We're interconnected and there's a purpose for doing this. No matter how bleak or black or whatever things are starting to look, I need to know that hope is there. It's going to be okay. So now we're getting into the next phase, the waxing quarter. This is where, once again, the sun and the moon are square. They've come back to that place where they're square. So there's a choice to be made. And this also, by the way, resolves, this particular phase resolves into the sextile. So here again, we're not talking about every single connection between the sun and the moon, but just trying to get a flavor of it. But this is the heretic, which, by the way, heretic comes from the Greek word free choice. So this is kind of a hard place to be anytime when you have planets squaring each other, because there's a choice to be made. Well, this is where the message is being rejected. You know, we've done all these things, we've campaigned for our candidate, or, you know, we've been out there on Earth Day and we've been pushing this idea, you know, we've gotten all the recycle out there, and then we go to the recycling place and realize they're just throwing everything away. We're going through all of these efforts and we're separating our bottles and our plastics and whatever, and a lot of it isn't ever even getting recycled because we're not doing it well enough, and when it's contaminated, it doesn't work. So that's kind of this waxing quarter. Well, all of a sudden, the outcast, the rebel, you know, we see shades of that because all of a sudden we realize nobody's listening to our message. We're not getting anywhere. This is where we really, really need hope, because this is where we're so tempted, you know, to break away from the group or to figure out, you know, what we're going to do next, because we're looking at our own opinions and we're really thinking about, where are we willing to keep moving forward, or where are we willing to compromise? You know, what are we willing to do to avoid conflict or rejection? See, this is where, you know, the group is telling us to do this, but we've got our own thoughts. And here again, I didn't say that very clearly before, but the one thing about Aquarius is it's about learning to hear your own voice. Can you hear alternative voices? Can you hear your own voice? Or do you put on those earmuffs and just go, nope, this is what the family says, this is what the teacher says, this is what the group says, and I've got to be comfortable with this. I've got to be part of the herd. I've got to be part of this group. So this particular part of the Aquarian story, it can be painful because we're kind of forced to look at, number one, our visions are hard to manifest in the world. You know, like I said, all those ideals, you know, is it worth continuing to work for something? And or what happens when the group starts saying, if you continue to do this, you can't be part of us? What do we do with that? What do we do when we're the lone voice? We're the one on the outside saying, hey, guys, wake up. This is important. Are you listening to this? And you know what? I think we've all been there at one time or another, haven't we? You know, and I can even remember one time when all my friends were reading a metaphysical book and I read it and I go, nope, can't go there. And, you know, it's a longer story than that. But, you know, they were all going to seminars and workshops and I'm just like, nope, can't do it. But no, we stayed friends. I mean, we were good friends, but I couldn't join them on that particular journey. And I think sometimes it's not quite as serious as that, but there are going to be those times when that best friend group, you know, or that best friend, we're just going in different directions. And so those groups are very malleable sometimes. They're changing. And we, when we're faced to, you know, when we really have to face our own thoughts and just say, how much discomfort am I willing to put up with? You know, what am I willing to do? What are the things that I'm willing to compromise on? And what are the things that I'm not? What am I willing to keep my mouth shut versus, you know, express my opinions and knowing the difference? So, you know, there's several phases of being an Aquarian that can be really uncomfortable because we're dancing with the idea of belonging. Okay, so the last one is the balsamic phase. By the way, that's not vinegar or oil. It has to do something with incense, and incense literally being burned and going up into the heavens. And so the balsamic phase of any moon phase is the very end where we're releasing. You know, we've come to the end of the process. Raven Caldera calls this the prophet. So here again, here's the Aquarian, gone through all these different issues, gone through all these different phases, and now they kind of drop out. They sink into oblivion. They kind of go out of the public eye. And there's going to be a few people that are going to go, oh, I remember that book, or I remember that voice, I remember that person. But you know what? The prophet doesn't care so much anymore. They just smile and let it go. You know, you can accept it, you can not accept it, but this is the place where the Aquarian does accept for themselves that so much is not under their control. They can be the voice, they can be the mentor, they can be that person, but they've got to let go of whether or not anybody's listening. So oftentimes, this is a kind of a strange Aquarian energy because they're a lot more passive than we've seen in the past, a lot more passive than what we usually think of that Aquarian out there holding the sign, right? Because they're just letting things take its natural course because they're learning to be at peace with the inability to improve or change the world exactly like they see that they think it should. You know, so you see that kind of thing too. And, you know, in some ways, this is an Aquarian that is definitely less ambitious than the other Aquarians because they're saying, been there, done that. Or because they're just saying, you know what, I recognize I can be the light. I can be the star. I can be the light, but I can't make people listen to the message. And I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. So in some ways, I think that, you know, like Raymond Caldera says this, they're actually happier when they're still doing the work, but they're not driven. So they're humanitarian, they're altruistic. Maybe they are teaching, maybe they are being mentors, but without all of the psychological, emotional attachments to people listening to them. So those are the phases of Aquarius. And I think that really kind of gave you a good idea of what all that energy is. It's about friendship. It is about being a visionary, being a rebel sometimes, being a revolutionary sometimes, really fighting for freedom and independence and social reform. People that are born with a sun in Aquarius or with lots of planets, maybe a moon or something else, they're often unusual. They're trendsetters. They're ahead of their time, inventive and progressive. Some people that are born with the sun in Aquarius are people like Abraham Lincoln. We tend to remember them. Abraham Lincoln, Charles Darwin, Paul Newman. Think about all of his humanitarian philanthropic work. Bill Maher, comedian, but with a definite message. You know, his stuff is not superficial. John Belushi, Franklin Roosevelt, James Dean. And also I point out the civil rights activist and poet Langston Hughes, which may be a name that you don't actually know, but he wrote a poem. I mean, he wrote a lot, and it was very Aquarian in nature, even though he, you know, well, in any case, he wrote a poem that became the very famous play and movie, The Raisin in the Sun. And oh my God, if you've never seen that, I don't know whether I should say you see it. It's a very, very moving and, you know, will take you through a whole range of emotions if you've never seen that. But of course, it's been around for decades. So while the sun is in Aquarius, you know, my advice is seek balance between the brilliance of your intuition and the genius of your rational mind. And understand that this really is a dance. It's a dance between different realms. It's a dance between the past and the future. And Aquarius is a bridge. It truly is linking the authority of Saturn, which is its traditional ruler, with the breakthrough experimental intelligence of Uranus, which is its modern ruler. Now, many of you know that, you know, before some of those other planets, what we call outer planets, were identified with telescopes, all of the signs had certain planetary rulers. Well, once we identified some of those other planets like Uranus and Neptune and Pluto, then we kind of gave them, you know, some signs to control. So that's why Aquarius has both Saturn and Uranus as co-rulership, although we often in modern astrology talk about Uranus. So that is, you know, those two things. Sometimes when you look at the discipline of it or how rigid an Aquarian is, that's probably coming from Saturn. Whereas when you think about that experimental energy, that's Uranus. So now I know we didn't save a whole lot of time to talk about the sun conjunct Pluto, which is what happened this morning, but I just want to let you know, this really is a time when, you know, the sun, which represents our ego, our individual identity, met up with a planet that represents cathartic change, healing, and regeneration. So pay attention to your feelings. Pay attention to what you're passionate about at this time, because there could be some amazing breakthroughs for you at this time that you treat, you know, when you look at it, it all comes back to today or something you learned today or something that happens today, that kind of thing. I would also say, make sure you ground yourself. You know, it's really hard to kind of be out there and be a visionary and really grapple with some of this Aquarian energy if you're hungry and sleepy and not taking care of yourself. So make sure that you do that. But this is also an energy, sun conjunct Pluto, of massive, strong willpower. So understand that too. People are not going to be namby-pamby today. You're probably going to see that as you're out and about in your world. But now I'm going to leave you with a quote from Galileo, who did have sun conjunct Pluto in Pisces, also with Mercury, the thinking planet. You cannot teach a man anything. You can only help him find it within himself. Now, that actually sounds Aquarian as well, but just that idea, the power to change. So, you know, get out there and just like I said, mostly just listen to yourself. Listen to what's going on for you in your life. just pay attention, be the observer, and listen to your own thoughts. Learn to do that. So we're going to wrap it up today. And I really want to say thank you so much for joining me, both listening and in the chat room. And thanks to our producer, Serena. I hope that you will stay tuned for Empowerment with Kelly Whetstone. She's coming up next. And she really, her show is so perfectly named because that's who she is. She is she's a Taurus. She's not an Aquarian. But boy, she is a person who just lives, you know, she walks her talk and she teaches us how to empower ourselves. So this is CA signing out. You have been listening to Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks on 1-2 Radio, where we are envisioning ways to change our world.